As we continue our study on the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking primarily honing in on verse 10. Let's begin reading in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to gather and to study your word. And it's for that purpose, Lord, that we have come into this place and we sit with Bibles opened and, Lord, hearts open to and receptive to your will. God, take away any of the cares and the anxious thoughts of the day. And, Lord, as we have come into this place, I pray, Lord, that you would teach us by your Spirit. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that we would learn how to pray properly. Lord, that we might pray powerfully and effectively, that we might receive, Lord, from you our requests for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, I pray if there's any here that don't know you, that you would draw them to yourself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we have been studying the Lord's Prayer, and last time together we saw our responsibility. Now, it started out when we pray, if we're going to pray rightly, if we're going to be effective in our prayer life, if there's going to be power in our prayer life, if we are going to employ it to the full extent that God has designed and desires, if we're going to be the kind of people that, well, when the people look at us, they go, hey, I want you to pray for me. You see, Jesus said, hey, I mean, the disciples rather said, hey, to Jesus, we want you to teach us to pray. Why? Because they saw the power there. They saw that that's where the place of authority, the place of love and the ability to deal with any situation that would come their way. It was all gained through this communion with the Father. That's what we were created for, by the way. To be in communion and in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And as they saw and sensed that place of power and authority, it was, well, it was that which caused them to say, Lord, teach us to pray. And we learned that prayer starts out with relationship. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, we have a Father. A Father who is in a position of authority and power in heaven, you see. One who has the ability to accomplish anything. And we, through Jesus Christ, have the privilege of coming to Him with anything and everything. Don't have to worry about our verbiage and our speech, although it should be respectful and thoughtful. It doesn't have to be eloquent, you see. It can be simple. Like a child would come to their father. And we learned that kind of relationship we have before Almighty God. We learn about the importance of a relationship, though, because He is our Father. You see, we need to have right relationship, not only with Him through Christ, but with one another. Of course, to that end, we learn that, hey, if you come to the altar to offer your sacrifice, and there you remember, you see, that you've got a problem with someone. Before you come before the throne of God to offer your sacrifice, you go out and you get right with that person, that brother, that sister, because we're a family. God considers it important. Husbands, you see, that priority is also set in 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, that your prayers might not be hindered. What's that? He's saying, hey, man, if you're not right with your wife, don't think you're going to have a great prayer life. It's not going to happen. So our relationship with our Father, you see, is connected. Our relationship with one another, God desires that to be in harmony and in unity. And then we have begun on the area of the responsibility in this prayer. If we're going to pray rightly, we need to be in right relationship with God, with one another. We also have a responsibility in this prayer. Well, what is that responsibility? Well, as we saw last time together, it's to hallow or to honor His name. Remembering who He is, submitting to what He says, recognizing where He is. You see, speaking of our worship, of God putting Him in His proper place. To live in such a way and to pray in such a way that His name would be honored. You see, that's the purpose of prayer, is to honor God's name. Nothing is higher than the glory of God's name. There's no other name, the Bible says in Peter chapter 4, verse 12, under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Somebody in the back pushed the button. That's what happened. Suddenly, I was tan, now I'm white. Okay, now we're going to get tan. Now we're going to not have any lights, now we're going to have lights. Okay. But you see, when we pray, we need to pray for the lights to shine brightly on us. And God to light our path. And for them to go up and down and all around. See, that's important when we pray. No. That's why it's the glory of God's name that we seek and not our own. See, because things are stable with God. When we pray, you see, before we mention daily bread, forgiveness, and guidance, we need to ask ourselves, if God answers these requests, you see, will they honor His name? Will they glorify Him? That's the key in our prayer life. To honor His name, to secondly, hasten His kingdom. That's the second responsibility we have we're going to look at this morning. The coming of God's kingdom. When we pray, we are to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Now the Greek word in that phrase means to come as a crisis or to come instantly. The Lord here is not talking about a process alone. The spiritual kingdom is with us right now. When a person is born again, when you or I are born again, we enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven as King and as priest. According to the book of Hebrews, He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, of course, was a priest and a king. You sometimes hear people say when Jesus Christ was here on earth, He was the prophet. Now He's in heaven serving as the priest. And one day He will come as King of kings and Lord of lords. But listen, He is enthroned right now. Today He is our priest seated in the throne of our hearts. He is the King of righteousness. He is the King of peace. Righteousness and peace come only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And though the kingdom of God is going to come ultimately when Christ returns with us as His church and puts an end to all the garbage that's being done on this earth, and to do things rightly and to rule and reign in beauty and authority and in unity and harmony, you know, that's the cry of people today. Stop the wars, stop the fighting, stop the pollution, stop the abusing, stop the messes. Why can't we love one another and just get along with each other? I'll tell you why. We're not submitted to God's kingdom. We're not submitted to His authority. We're not living as God has designed us to live, you see. And so as a result, things are in turmoil. But the day is coming where, as we read in Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." The Lord Jesus is going to return and establish His kingdom. Ultimately, but presently, you see, He is establishing it on earth. How? In our hearts and in our lives personally. Listen, we are to hasten the coming of the Lord. What's that mean? To hurry it. Well, how can we hurry the coming of the Lord? Is that something that's possible? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 11, Peter wrote about a day that would come when the elements would melt with a fervent heat, and the day of the Lord will come, and the earth and the works in it will be burned up. And then he made this application: "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be?" In other words, he's saying, hey man, the day is coming when this world is going to be destroyed, when life as we know it is going to be altered radically, the evil dealt with completely and totally. All the things that we hold on now. I was down at the Victoria Gardens Friday night. I was studying last night. I was down at Victoria Gardens Friday night. And there's the release of a product. Yes, I saw people I knew standing in line. Yes, it's the iPhone. Standing in line for a telephone. Standing in line to pay $600 a pop for a telephone. Oh, okay, it's an MP3 player as well. I'm sorry. Oh, it's a web browser as well. Okay. So it's a small little computer in many ways. Why are they standing in line? Because they want one? Yeah. I'm sure that's what it is. But I think it's more than that, because they want to be the first to have one. Some people camping out. Why? So they can get one, to be the first on their block to have one. Can I share something with you? That, along with everything else, is going to go by the wayside. The day is coming where, yes, they've done the drop test. I looked in PC Magazine. It lasts pretty well in the drop test. They dropped it on carpet. They dropped it on linoleum. They dropped it on cement from about ear level. And it held up pretty well. But the day's coming where everything that we cling to as the greatest in technology, as the most wonderful things that we own, you see, and enjoy, the day is coming where it will all be gone. There's no hearse that I've ever seen pulling a U-Haul. You can't take it with you. When it all melts, when it's all destroyed, Peter is saying, "See then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for," and listen to this, "hastening unto the coming of the day of God." That little phrase, "hastening unto," can be translated, "hastening the coming of the day of God." Now you say, how do we hasten, or how do we hurry the coming of the day of God? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14 tells us, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. We hasten the day of God by living godly lives. The fact that God is waiting is evidence of His grace. If God judged the world right now, there are people who say, well, they've been saying God's come back for a long time. You know what? Well, then He's not back yet, so why hasn't He come yet? Because if God judged the world right now, multitudes would be condemned forever. God is waiting patiently for perhaps some of you this morning to say yes to Him because He loves you. And if He destroys the evil and removes the evil from the world, He'll have to remove and destroy you. And God's not willing that you should perish in that way. He wants you to come into a relationship with Him, to take and to receive the price that He has sent His Son to pay on the cross, taking your place for the evil, for the sin, for the wickedness and the rebellion in your heart. If you'll just believe in Jesus, who took what you deserved on that cross, who shed His blood that you might be cleansed, you can have a relationship with the Lord. You see, He'll take away the evil and the guilt that's there in your heart, and He'll give you a new heart. You see, we are to live godly lives, letting our light shine as witnesses for Him. And then we are to share the message of salvation with others. Living godly lives, enthroning Christ in our own lives, and then going out and telling others. That's what this little skit's talking about, the parable of the sower, going out and sowing the seed. You know what, man? I can't make it grow. Okay? The seed is the Word of God. Jesus, of course, the master sowers. We under sowers going out and taking the same Word of God, the same seed. The seed of God has power, man. May not seem very big, this Bible that you hold in your hands, but it has radical power. Just like a seed. Seed doesn't look too powerful. One of those pine cones doesn't look like it has much potential, does it? But have you ever noticed when you drive in our mountains locally? Have you ever seen what happens to the rocks, the granite, where that pine cone falls with just enough soil to take root, and how those roots then from that tree, as that seed begins to flourish, you see, and that tree begins to grow. Have you noticed how the roots dig into and around and even crack that granite? Have you seen the roots of the trees crack the sidewalk? Yeah, that may start as a small oak tree, but you see, it grows and grows, and the potential and the power for that small little acorn. We sow the seed of God's Word in the world. You see, wanting God's will to be accomplished in the lives of others. Jesus to be enthroned in the lives of people. Listen, the purpose of prayer, praying for God's kingdom to come, praying for God's will to be done, it's not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. 1 John 5:14 makes that clear when it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything to according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we desire of Him." See, sometimes people think prayer is telling God what to do, when in reality, prayer is finding out what God wants to do and then asking Him to do it. "Thy will be done on earth as it is, or in earth as it is in heaven." If we're going to pray for the will of God, then we have to know the Word of God, because the will of God is revealed in the Word. We must know the promises. We must know the precepts and the principles of God's Word. John 15:7 makes it clear that prayer and the Word go together. When Jesus said, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples." We know how to pray God's will when we get into the Word. We also know better how to pray God's will when we know God's character. Listen, the better a child knows his father, the better he knows what his father wants to give. I hope there are certain things that your teenagers know that if they came to you and asked, I mean, they would be crazy to do so. Like, you know, hey, daddy, your daughter comes and says, could I spend the night at Johnny, my boyfriend's house? We're not going to sleep together. He's going to sleep on the couch. Because we're going to go early in the morning somewhere. I hope if your daughter came and asked you that, I hope she would be, well, she wouldn't even feel comfortable she would think, that would be a crazy request to ask my father. Yeah. Why? Because, well, hopefully she knows and understands your character and understands God's call and desire and design, you see, and the temptation and the potential for, dishonoring God that would bring. And so she wouldn't ask you something like that. Listen, we know how to properly pray and more effectively pray when we know the character of God. And we know the character of God by studying the Word. And you know then what God wants to give. And you are open in exposing yourselves as God's Word speaks to your heart, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. At times in my life, there have been times, honestly, where I've not known what to pray. You ever been there? Somebody comes and says, will you pray for me? And I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray in the situation. And God has impressed certain things on my heart. There are times where it's no more than groanings, Romans 8:26 tells us, that can't be uttered. The Holy Spirit interceding for us. Do you ever think of that as a prayer? Something that God, a work of God's Spirit, that's God's Spirit. Just, you don't understand, you don't know what to pray or what to say, but God just through His Spirit, using the gift of tongues. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. You see, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. The will of God accomplishes the work of God, and God's will is strengthening for us. You see, it feeds us. What food is to your body, the will of God is to your soul. You see, food, it accomplishes nothing, and it is of no benefit at all if the food is just, say you sit down at the table and mom or, your wife brings out the food, sets the plate before you, and you sit there and you look at it. Looks good. Smells good. Good balance of, there's the vegetables, the meat, the starches and all. Hey, that's wonderful. That's lovely. Thank you so much. And then you sit and watch and look and smell and sniff, but don't do anything about it. You won't be nourished if you don't do anything, if you don't partake of that food. You see, it's not enough for us to study and smell and sense and look and see and acknowledge it's good, it's great, God is awesome, and then to know the will of God and then not do it. You see, no nourishment, no strength, no power. You see, these responsibilities that we have here to honor God, to hasten His coming. You see, when we pray, the idea here is our responsibility is that we ask ourselves when we come to the Lord is, Lord, if You granted these requests that I'm asking right now, would the answers honor Your name? Would they hurry the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of His kingdom? In other words, in your prayer life, how much of your prayer life do you spend praying for God's work in the world, God's work in individuals' lives, that His kingdom would be expanded? How much time do we spend praying for the work of evangelism and missions? We have opportunity to pray for missionaries, and we have them listed on the backboard there, and you know, we give out things that, hey, pray for these specific needs, you see. But how much time, how much energy, how much effort do we spend? We pester our children, but how much time do we spend praying for them? You see, prayer for the kingdom of God, for the submission to His authority, for the church, Christ enthroned in our own hearts, living for Him personally, and that others would see and come to know Christ, that it would be a passion in our lives. The Bible says, they who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you prayed for someone, where your heart was so burdened for someone that they would submit to the Lordship of Christ, that they would come to know the grace and the love and the goodness of God, that it moved you emotionally, even to tears? Oh, God, help them. Lord, work in them. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Maybe the reason that you're not reaping in joy is because you're not spending time sowing in tears, praying that the kingdom of God would be furthered. You see, we need to pray, and in that prayer, it needs to be something that we would pray that would honor His name. We need to pray in such a way as to further His kingdom. And we need to pray in such a way as that we would just continue to live in submission to Him. You see, Jesus prayed in the garden, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but Thy will be done." That's the only way to pray. God, I want to ask You to work in this way. Lord, I submit and ask You to do this. Maybe to change that. But Lord, I want You to know that I recognize that You're a good and a great and an awesome God. And my desire, Your design in prayer, is to allow me to commune with You in such a way as to accomplish Your will, because I know that's the best. I have my will. Jesus saying, "Listen, Lord, if there's any way that I don't have to go through this cross, that I don't have to go through this separation from You momentarily, Lord, if there's any way that that can be the case where I can, you know, accomplish the same thing without the pain and the agony and the misery, listen, I want this cup to pass. Nevertheless, it's not all about what I want." Hey, can I tell you? It's not about you. And the quicker you find that out, and the quicker you live that out, and the quicker you pray through that and work through that, you know what? The more satisfied you are going to be. The more fulfilled you are going to be when you find what? God's will and God's way for your life. When you further God's kingdom, when you live in submission and obedience to Him. You see, those are the responsibilities that we have in prayer. Jesus is teaching us here how to pray. He is instructing us to affirm what is the real priority for humanity. And the priority is His kingdom and rule, His authority. The priority is that we live in a consciousness of that daily. That we would understand His will. And that those around us would see with greater clarity the manifestation of His authority in our lives. What are your priorities in prayer? Are they kingdom priorities? Are they priorities that line up with the will and the Word of God, the purpose of Christ? Have you considered the implications and the desires of God concerning your life, your work, your marriage, your career, your parenting, your decisions, and your service here in the church? We are taught to pray that the King's rule would be established. That the King's will would be accomplished where we live. One day when He returns in glory, we will see that manifestation and experience His kingship fully. I'm looking forward to that day. Where I can worship Him, where I can serve Him, where I don't have any struggle anymore, where I'm not distracted. No sin. Aren't you looking forward to the day where there's no more sin? Where you always do what you know is right and wonderful. Where no one has any more sorrow or pain or tears. Or no one is hurt. There's no death. There's no dying, you see. There's love. There's peace. There's joy. There's unity. There's harmony. No murder, no more terrorism, no more worries about attacks of any sort under His rule and His authority. You see, that's the day that we're looking for, but until then, we are called to be those who show and shine from us what the kingdom of God looks like in our homes, in our families. In the church body. May, when people see us, they sense the lordship and the love and the grace and the goodness of God. May our prayer life have as a priority to pray for the kingdom and the will of God to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word this morning and for the work of Your Spirit to minister Your Word to our hearts. And now I pray, Lord, that we would be those who in our prayer lives, Lord, honor Your name. That we would be those who hasten Your coming by praying, Lord, that Your kingdom would be furthered. That we would be those as Your subjects who share the message of the Savior with those who are in rebellion against You presently. Those who are condemned and put down as hopeless and helpless by the enemy. Lord, may they hear the good news. May they see the good news lived out in our lives as they sense Your love and Your power and Your ability to change what no program or plan of man can change. May they sense Your grace and Your goodness. If there's any in our midst this morning, Lord, who have not yet given their lives to You, God, may today they recognize that there's a God in heaven, the Creator and the giver of life, who sent His Son to die on the cross, to take what they deserve, that they might not live as slaves to sin, that they might not live in condemnation, but because He paid the penalty for their sin, He took upon Himself the abuse and the condemnation that we deserve that we might be forgiven, that we might have the power to change through, Lord, the work that you have done in your, through your Son. And Lord, may we be those that heed your will. God, help us to be those, Lord, who submit ourselves increasingly to you for your glory. And we'll give you the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.